Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are so delighted that you have welcomed us into your home. We certainly would love to hear from you. So you can always send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com and check us out on Facebook. You can also listen to our show as a podcast. Just go out to EWTN's Podcast Central at ewtn.com/radio/podcast or wherever you happen to listen to your podcasts. Now, today we're going to be focusing on the most well-known saints in the Catholic Church. Saint Pius of Petrolina, the most commonly known as Padre Pio. And from his miraculous stigmata to his gift of confession and healing, Padre Pio continues to draw souls closer to Christ as a powerful intercessor. In honor of his feast day, which we're going to celebrate tomorrow, our theme for today's show is this. What is Padre Pio? Why is Padre Pio a go-to saint and intercessor for you? And tomorrow is his beautiful feast day. And we at our center, you know, Jim and I are privileged to run a pregnancy medical center in downtown Birmingham. And we have a beautiful statue of Padre Pio in our chapel. And then we also have a relic of Padre Pio. And when I have difficult cases, when I have a client in room one or two or three, and she's thinking about having an abortion, I usually go back into the chapel and I pray to the saints that are there. I have Mother Cabrini, Padre Pio, and it's beautiful to say, Padre Pio, I need your intercession. I need your help. We need a breakthrough that this mother's heart would be turned to her beautiful baby that's inside her womb. So we love Padre Pio. When I was doing my cancer journey, we did have on our refrigerator, pray, hope, and don't worry. And it's become a beautiful theme for our lives as we live and as we're growing older. We need to be more about that. We need to pray, we need to have hope, and we need not to worry.
Joy, thanks so much for such a beautiful sharing, and we hope to hear from you why Padre Pio is your go-to saint, why he means so much to you, some breakthroughs that may have happened in your life as a result of asking for his intercessory prayer. There's plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our question for today's show is this. Why is Padre Pio a go-to saint and intercessor for you? Because tomorrow is his beautiful feast day. You know, we had a relic of St. Padre Pio. And 20-something years ago, as I was doing a cancer journey, I had his relic on my bedside and my night table, and I would bless myself with his relic and ask him to pray for me because I wanted to live. And here I am. So to God be the glory. So I love praying to Padre Pio, with Padre Pio. He is a great intercessor, and he hasn't failed me.
St. Pio of Pietrelcina, man of hope and healing, EWTN produced an excellent docudrama on Padre Pio, called St. Pio of Pietrelcina. We're going to take a look at that right now. You're seeing that there. And so this is going to be absolutely wonderful to see. It's coming up. This original film presents the life, miracles, and spirituality of St. Padre Pio with eyewitnesses, testimony, and commentary from devotees of St. Pio of Pietrelcina. Produced by EWTN St. Pio Foundation in collaboration with Christina Video. This program is narrated by actor Joe Mantegna and features comments from Gary Sinise, Robert Davi, Jose Feliciano, and many others. You can watch it live on air tomorrow, 9:30 a.m. Central Time, or anytime at EWTN On Demand. So just be aware of that. I was asking, you know, our producers, what shows you're going to have on tomorrow. So I wanted you to know about that. We look forward to seeing that as well. I understand we have on the phone with us Bob Pacco, joining us now to give his insight and connection to Padre Pio. Bob, why don't you go right ahead? You're part of the Padre Pio prayer group here in town in Homewood, Alabama. But why is he your go-to saint? Why is he so special to you? Go right ahead, Bob.
Okay. Well, I tell you, I was going to start and just let everybody know. You know, Padre Pio prayer group operates ourselves in Homewood. So we celebrated 11 years this past Saturday, the Padre Pio prayer group. So I've been praying, offering petitions to them for a while. Now, we meet on the third Saturday every month, and on our service starts at 10 a.m., and we do adoration, praying the rosary, followed by Mass. This past Saturday, we had a potluck after the Mass, celebrating the milestone, and you know, all are welcome to join us in prayers and petitions to Padre Pio. You know, with the struggles that Padre Pio had during his life, he was humble, obedient, patient, but he persevered. His efforts to care for the poor, the sick, and those struggling in life, you know, has helped me to realize to do for others. He has encouraged me, you know, to renew the spirit in my heart. Yeah. In my prayers and petitions to him, I ask him to intercede with our Mother Mary to bring those prayers and petitions to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There are numerous in the prayers that he prayed that I now pray. You know, he's a great example of pray, hope, and don't worry.
Yes.
And he was definitely a holy priest. You know, I also, when I pray, I ask his guardian angel to pray with my guardian angel, as well as the guardian angels of those who I pray for, to help us to be more aware of our trials, you know, and our struggles. You know, I myself have several reminders, a rosary, a healing stone, statue, a relic. So he's really been a big part of my life and a go-to for a saint that I would pray to.
Bob, thank you so much. That's beautifully shared. Great success to your Padre Pio fellowship and prayer group there at Our Lady of Sorrows in Homewood. If people are in town, they're always welcome to come and be a part. Thank you so much for sharing from your heart and your experience the intercessory work of Padre Pio, St. Padre Pio. Beautiful sharing. People love him so much. And Joe, I just want to share a little story. You shared about our Padre Pio relic there in our chapel, and how you go to Padre Pio to say, this is the situation. You know, we're dealing with somebody here who thinks they want an abortion, and we need a breakthrough. Please pray. I remember, you know, most people know that I was a lapsed Catholic. I was brought up in the Catholic Church, really didn't understand, you know, the faith very well. Came into a conversion, an evangelical charismatic conversion, and wound up, you know, going to another expression of the church. But the Lord was drawing me back over 22 years of being an Episcopal priest. And as I was doing this, I found out about Padre Pio, learned a little bit about him, was really taken that he had the stigmata, his holiness of life, his early call in life. And I was sharing that with one of my cousins, who's now deceased, Gloria. And I was saying, you know, wow, I'm learning about Padre Pio. And I just, I'm feeling drawn, you know, to him. And this is, but I'm separated from the church. And so Gloria says, oh, yeah, I think I had a relic of Padre Pio. And I said, you think you have a relic of Padre Pio? I said, I'm not even in the Catholic Church, and I'm really interested. And where is the relic? And she's like losing her breath. She goes, I'll find it. I'll find it. And it was terrible that I put that kind of pressure on her. But she said, yeah, there was somebody from our town who was a Padre Pio devotee. But he would go to Pietrelcina, and when he would celebrate Mass, when he went, he would attend to him. And so he would serve. And he said that Padre Pio wiped his hands, you know, on a cloth. You know, you do that before you celebrate the Mass or after. And he took the cloth. And he says, and she says, and I have a piece of that cloth that Padre Pio wiped his hands on. I said, you better find that. And she did find it, and she sent it to me. And I really do believe that somehow, some way, Padre Pio attached to that, you know, cloth in prayer helped to draw me back to come home to the Roman Catholic Church. So I'm sure there are so many, many stories. The other thing I just want to say, another point about Padre Pio. I mean, he didn't, I don't know if he asked for the stigma. I don't think he did. Mm-hmm. He just had such a devotion to the Lord and to the cross, to the crucifix of Christ, and all of a sudden, I think he got the pains where this would
in
take
his
place.
Hands.
So they were unseen, and then he received the stigmata. And my understanding is that he said, "I really don't want this.
Right.
You know, I love you, but how am I going to bear this?" And of course, he was scorned. Mm-hmm. He was, it was a scandalous thing. Like he must have pierced himself. He had to go through years of being examined.
Enduring things in the church.
He was allowed to celebrate the Mass, but I don't know if he was able to do that with other people. And it was like really terrible. He was persecuted. Mm-hmm. And one of the aspects of that I want to say is that he really brought home not only the cross of Christ and the substitutionary atonement of Christ and Christ's forgiveness, but he brought home that Jesus Christ is a rejected Messiah. Mm-hmm. And so we're willing to take up the cross, and it seems like a very noble thing, and it is. And maybe we all want a halo around our head because we're taking up the cross. Jesus had no halo around his head. Mm-hmm. From the Jews or the regular people of that time, he was a scorned Messiah. And the cross has to do with you'll be rejected.
Yes.
And you'll be rejected in the church and outside of the church. So be careful of asking for the stigmata or I really want to take up the cross. And you don't understand. You're not going to be praised and thanked for what you're doing by many people in the church or outside of the church. But Jesus was a rejected Messiah. Now he's accepted by, multitudes of people, but that goes along with the cross.
Right. And he was really persecuted within the church, by the church. And but the faithful people, the laity, they knew who this man was. Yeah. And he was obedient. This man took all the correction, said everything that they said to do, and how he suffered. And then how he battled the evil one, right? I mean, there's such an account of the power encounters that he had to endure with light and darkness.
He was like physically attacked.
Right, he was physically attacked. Yeah. And because he loved Jesus and he wanted to be a light and salt. He wanted to be an effective witness. And he was being persecuted because he knew the power of that cross. Mm. He knew the power of that deliverance. He knew the power to be set free. Yeah. And the devil doesn't like that. You could give God lip service. Oh, yeah, I love God. I love God. Well, when you get tested and tried, you find out how much you really love God. Or even, we always say, oh, I'm under the authority of the church. Okay. Well, when the church tells you no, then you find out if you're under the authority of the church or not. And Padre Pio was such a beautiful example. All he was trying to do was live out the life God called him to live. And he was being persecuted because of it and his beautiful love.
We have a comment
Jesus.
Here, Joy. It says, every time I worried about something, I always think of what St. Padre Pio said. As you mentioned earlier, pray, hope, and don't worry.
Right.
And it's interesting, pray without ceasing. Let your requests be made known to God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in the knowledge and love of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Pray, he said.
Right.
Sincerely pray. And always have hope in the Lord. Things might not turn out exactly what you're thinking of, but we can't be Christians and Catholics and be a hopeless people. We have to have hope, whether for this life or in the age to come. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Mm-hmm. The Word of God says, have no anxiety. Really? Have no anxiety. It's saying have no anxiety because you have anxiety. Okay. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving, make your request known to Almighty God. And then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge of God.
Well, hon, but to be a person, just to do those three things, pray, hope, and don't worry, and you can put it on your refrigerator or whatever, it's so intentional. Because I can remember coming out into the kitchen and I didn't have a prayer. My body was racked with chemotherapy and I felt God awful and I looked God awful. And it was just a terrible, terrible time. And I'd look and I'd go, pray. That's intentional. That's a place of the will where you have to surrender and say, Lord, I pray. Lord, I hope. Mm. Lord, I choose not to worry. Lord, I trust in you. Mm. And those are all intentional things that you have to tell your body, mm. you have to tell your mind, mm. and you have to tell your spirit. And then the grace of God, which passes all understanding, and this makes no human sense, it changes everything.
Okay. We got a number of comments coming in. They're moving around a little bit. Okay, I see it. Diagnosed with one of the worst cancers, I was given 2 to 3 years to live. I started praying to St. Padre Pio immediately. That was 21 years ago. Mm-hmm. A miracle happened that doctors can't even believe. Brian from Facebook. And there's so many healings and miracles when people call upon St. Padre Pio. And he left a great legacy behind of miracles and signs and wonders. And he also created this incredible hospital for people. So he believed in medicine and the use of medicine and diagnosis and doing that. So we believe in all of those things, not asking for healings and miracles alone, but doing things that in the natural law, natural ways, things that people can find out to do that. Yeah. So St. Padre Pio, please pray for us. Pray for those that are hurting right now. Pray for those that think they don't have a prayer, they don't have a hope, and they're facing insurmountable things. Come to them. Jesus, come to them in their dreams and in their thoughts, their concern for their children, for their marriages, for their families, and wars and rumors of wars and so many things. Pray, hope, don't worry. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, certainly over the weekend, I know that you've all watched, hopefully, so many people tuned in to the Charlie Kirk, the memorial. Celebration that they had of his Praise life, the memorial service. And, you know, for us, there's a time when you're praying for revival. And there is a time such as this where we're at. And I can remember being out in front of the abortion clinics back in the day when we had 7 abortion clinics here in Birmingham, Alabama. And knowing the journey with Padre Pio and letting him be a prayer partner up alongside you and calling on him that he would aid you and assist you, that you would love well, that you would speak the right word in due season. And, you know, I think the beautiful witness of Charlie Kirk's life for all of us and, you know, with Padre Pio is life is short. And we need to be bold in how we share. And we need to be obedient to the truth that is within us, as Padre Pio was. He didn't shrink back. Persecution came. Nobody agreed with him. The church didn't agree. When you think about that. And then just the beautiful journey with his mother. I do hope you watch the shows on EWTN because they take you in to his heart and to his family and how he suffered and to know that. Padre Pio is so beautiful. And I love what EWTN, it's all on EWTN tomorrow night. It will be St. Pio, the man of hope and healing. And then there are other ones that EWTN has on demand also. Yeah. So don't miss it. Show up and say, Padre Pio, pray for me that on this journey that I am in right now, that I would be one that is bold and courageous, and I wouldn't shrink back no matter what the cost. Mm.
I've seen a good bit of footage on Padre Pio, probably through EWTN at some point in time. And obviously, he had a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And he did a lot of smiling. He was at a table. He looks like he liked to eat. Mm-hmm. Some of those friars who were there, they like to eat too. And he would be like teasing them and doing the napkin by them and laughing. And they'd be around him. All his friars were smiling and laughing. I'm sure they would be dead in life serious, mm-hmm. especially at the mass. And, you know, Padre Pio was continually in pain and bleeding. But he had a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. And somehow he took his Lord very seriously and himself not that seriously. And he was always striving more and more to reach the top of the mountain, to be mm-hmm. unified with the Lord. And that's important for us to remember as well. Mother Angelica typified that. Typified what? Not taking herself too seriously. She could be dead serious about the faith, the need for renewal within the church, the spread of the gospel, people calling in the counsel she would give. But she would laugh hysterically. Mm-hmm. And just, she had a good sense of humor and good attitude. And you could sense that, you know, she was giving the burdens to the Lord.
Right.
You're like that as well. Like when we were, I told you that, you know, we're going to do a show and they're offering us the show. And I was saying, here's what we're going to be doing, life, marriage, and family. Here's what we're going to be. And you said, is this going to be fun?
True.
And I was like, I didn't think about that. And so you said, because if it's not fun, I don't want to do it.
Right.
That's what you said. But you meant, you know, a good fun. And I thought to myself, Mother Angelica was serious, like I'm serious about some things, but she had a childlike sweetness, and that this is about the Lord. It's not about me.
Right.
And you have that same thing. And that's something that we should remember as we face very serious matters in our life, to laugh in the face of Satan and to say, I know that my Redeemer lives.
Right.
And that he will return and stand upon the face of the earth, that he's coming back to be the judge of the living and the dead. And you can have a sense of lightness in the midst of all the heaviness.
Yeah.
He had that.
He did. And I really hope that you watch all that, because you really get taken into his heart, especially the one where he's a little boy and his journey with his mother. And that is also beautiful. But I think the thing, the greatest witness that he is today, even as all these years later, we're still asking for his prayers. We want his presence in our life. We know that he is effective as an intercessor and can aid us and assist us. And it's just like, we don't have to do this alone. That's a beautiful thing about the Catholic Church. We have the saints who have endured all the suffering, stood the test of time, and they're cheering us on, saying, run your race, run hard, let your light shine, don't shrink back.
Be sure to join us on Wednesday when we have Father Christopher Seith to speak with us about his wonderful book, Rekindling Wonder, Touching Heaven in a Screen-Saturated World, and how the Church offers a healing remedy to our digitally dominated world. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great, great shows. Padre Pio, pray for us. With all that you manifest, pray that we might have a love like you had for the Holy Eucharist. If we could see the Eucharist and experience the Holy Eucharist the way you do, pray for our children, our grandchildren, that they might know the wonder of the Holy Eucharist and not say, it's so boring. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Pray for the Church, for renewal, because if we understood the sacraments of the Church, especially the Holy Eucharist, we would never leave her. Mm. We'd never leave the Lord. God bless you. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.